Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amar Yadi from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Yadi.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all for the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. To discuss this quarter and full-year business performance, we have from the management Mr. Pujan Doshi, Managing Director, Mr. Hitesh Mehta, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhishek Parikh, Group Finance Controller, Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations, and other management team as well on the call. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you all for the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss the financial performance. I wish to express my heartfelt gratitude to all those who have dedicated their time to join the call and have consistently been a part of our journey. I have been, along with our MD, Mr. Pujan Doshi, our Executive Director, Mr. Viren Doshi, Mr. Abhishek Parikh, our Group Financial Controller, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations, and the other members of the management team as well on the call. Before I start with this business update, I would like to briefly introduce the company to all the participants who are looking at the company for the first time. Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited is a subsidiary of Waaree Energies Limited, and it's mainly into the business of the EPC, O&M, and the IPP business. We are technically advanced end-to-end EPC solution provider that finance, construct, owns, operates solar projects. The company operating across the geography strategically targets long-term investment within the commercial and industrial customer segment. The main purpose of the company is to take the growing renewable energy market. Starting with our order book position, we have an unexecuted order book of 856+ MW. We have successfully executed 96+ MW in the Q1 of FY24. In this quarter, we have received some major orders of 100 MW in Jamnagar, Gujarat, and 36 MW in Amrezi, Gujarat, respectively. Now, moving to the industry outlook, as of March 31st, 2023, the Indian renewable energy sector has achieved the remarkable milestone, signifying a commendable journey towards sustainability and clean energy. With the impressive installed capacity of approximately 125 GW, India has made a significant stride in embracing renewable energy sources. The forefront of this green revolution is solar power, leading the way with the impressive capacity of 67 GW, closely followed by wind energy with 43 GW. This remarkable progress has boosted renewable energy contribution to the country's energy mix, which has grown from 15% at the end of FY26 to an impressive 30% by the end of FY23. The Government of India has played an important role in driving this growth by setting up ambitious targets to achieve 500 GW of non-fossil fuel-based capacity by 2030. Segment-wise, the government aims to reach 280 GW for solar and 140 GW for wind, This strong commitment, along with the effective policy formulations and implementation, has been a major catalyst in propelling the renewable energy sector forward. To bolster the self-reliance in solar module sourcing, the Indian government has introduced a production link incentive, which is a PLI scheme. This scheme is designed to encourage the private investment throughout the module supply chain, encompassing polysilicon wafer sale and modules. While we celebrate this achievement, it is important to highlight some challenges in the sectors. As of March 2023, India module and cell manufacturing capacity stood at 38 gigawatt and 6 gigawatt respectively. However, the recently released ALMM list indicates an approved module capacity of 22 gigawatt, a figure lower than the operating capacity due to outdated facilities. In conclusion, India renewable energy sectors contribute to showcase remarkable progress thanks to the unwavering commitment and strategic initiative taken by the government. We are excited about the opportunities ahead as we work towards achieving the ambitious target set for the future. We remain dedicated to driving sustainable growth in the renewable energy landscape and creating long-term value for our stakeholders. Now I would like to take you through the consolidated financial highlights for this quarter and FY23. In quarter 1 of FY24, we have recorded a revenue of 129 crores as compared to 95 crores in the Q1 of FY23, representing a year-on-year growth of 36%. At the EBITDA level, margin for the Q1 FY24 was 12.4 as compared to 13.7 in the Q1 of FY23. We are confident of sustaining the margin and the endeavor to improve upon the same. In Q1 24, our profit before tax was 15.2 crores as compared to 11.9 crores in Q1 of FY23. In Q1 of FY24, our net profit was after taxes 11.1 crores as compared to 9.9 crores in Q1 of FY23, which is representing 12% of the growth. We have unexecuted order book of 856 megawatt. We have successfully executed 96 megawatt in Q1 of FY24. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Vikram Sharma from Niveshai Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was, so the EBITDA per megawatt, if I calculate for financial year FY23, was around 25 lakh. And if I check for the current quarter, then it reduced to around 15-16 lakh EBITDA per megawatt. And so can you highlight the major reasons behind decrease and what should be the sustainable margin on a full year basis? I think in last call we guided EBITDA margin range in the 15-25%, but in recent interview we highlighted approximately 12-15%. So what kind of margins we should expect going forward?
So thank you, Vikram. Thank you for your questions. And as you know, we are basically into the EPC business, where there are four phases of the activities. The first phase is the engineering and the drawing. The second phase is the sourcing of the materials. The third phase is the construction activity, and the last is the commissioning of the project. Generally, in the Q1 of the year, the project starts, and basically it's more on the side of the engineering and the drawing side, where the revenue what you book is also less, and the margin is also less as compared to what you booked in the phase 2 and phase 3 of the project. So I think going forward you will see a better margin also, and the overall margin what we expect will be in the same range what we have said, which is in the range of 12 to 15%.
Okay. And sir, recently, like in last quarter, module prices has corrected lot in last 2 months. So how you are seeing traction? Like prices are lower, you are seeing traction for higher EPC execution, higher EPC contracts?
No, I'm not clear about your question. Could you repeat, please?
Yeah, so I was saying module prices has corrected lot in last quarter. So if we check Chinese module prices, they corrected up to 30-40% in the last quarter. So yeah, this correction, like are we seeing higher number of EPC projects inquiry due to this?
Maybe I'll ask Abhishek to reply on this.
Hi Vikram.
Yeah,
what happened basically, this industry has seen price rationalizations in last 10-12 years. Prices have rationalized, especially for the modules, right? So prices have rationalized as high as 85 to 90%. While in last 2 years prices were still range bound, and in last quarter we have seen, you know, prices started again falling. So that was something which was anyways predicted, and the industry was ready for that. So since module comprises of the major component of a EPC contract of solar power plant, definitely this gives a reason for the you know, community and for the industry to take quick decisions when the module prices are being rationalized and do the EPC in that point in time. So yes, the trajectory is right. If prices are at the bottom rock, you can definitely find more inquiries and more tenders floating in the market, and hence a larger market could come across in next few quarters.
Okay. And sir, last question on the O&M business side. So generally, what is range revenue per megawatt for O&M business? And all orders we are, like all orders we are executing, are we also handling O&M for those?
So we have a good portfolio for the O&M also. And we have approximately 490 megawatt projects where we are doing the O&M activity, and the price is generally ranging between 3 lakhs to 4 lakhs rupees per megawatt.
Okay, and what is our cost in 3-4 lakh price?
So we generally incur a cost of around 60 to 70% in this.
Okay sir, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Umang Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning.
Good morning.
So actually I had a broader question. If we look at the government incentives or the government idea of 2030, do you think that we are still currently in the pace to reach that 500 gigawatt renewable energy? And we from wafer to everything we were trying to push through. Currently, where do you think that our company could lead towards? So I have a broader understanding, but if you could answer this fundamental questions first.
So as I said in my previous about the company, where I said that the overall target for the government is 500 gigawatt by 2030. Of the around 280 gigawatt will be from the solar. If you see as of today, we have around 65 to 70 gigawatt which is implemented in India, and we expect the balance to be implemented in next 7 years of the time. We expect from 2024-25 onwards, it will be minimum 40 gigawatt of the installation every year, and we see a great opportunity in the coming years even for the companies for this.
Okay. So are we saying that our capex in so either in parent company or in renewables would be a continuous process for coming 3-4 years, because we are going backwards. We are now manufacturing cell, then wafer, ingot. So we would be going backwards. So what would be the overall capex still for coming at least 4-5 years, if you could guide that also?
So if I'm talking about the Waaree renewable technology, we don't require much of the capex in this, because here we are much into the EPC business and the O&M business. We don't do much of the IPP business in this company. And if you're talking about the parent company, which is into the manufacturing of the module, that depending upon the demand supply, we will incur the additional capex.
Okay, okay. And so just related to parent, are we, I mean, we earlier were planning for an independent listing for the parent company, but I think that is either in talks or on course. But are we looking to go ahead with that? And also there are few unlisted, I mean, companies which are there, which we have taken over, for example, IndoSolar. So what are the status on that? If you could also, I know it's not the right platform, but if you could answer those, it would be very helpful.
You rightly said this is not the right platform. We can discuss this one-to-one also. But in any case, we are going with the public issue in the near time for the parent company.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand more regarding competitive intensity. How are we seeing that in terms of peers and maybe even companies doing their own in-house? How are we seeing that coming along?
I'll ask Abhishek to reply on this.
So Dhananjay, if my understanding is correct, you want to understand the competitive landscape and the advantage that the company have because of the presence of the parent in the manufacturing domain as well?
Yes.
Yes, certainly as a group we have our strength in both manufacturing as well and EPC business and O&M business, and that really helps us to take very prudent decision in buying at the right time. Being a listed company, Waaree Renewable Technologies and an EPC company, and into this space for quite some time, the team is very, very, you know, large team, and which has got good experience in taking the right buying decision. And since majority of the cost component comes from the procurement in this business, the strength of the group in this overall supply chain really supports the subsidy as well. Although while dealing between the company, listed company as well as the parent company, which is in manufacturing of modules, you always have to take care of the arm's length pricing, and that's where the independence of this company comes through. But yes, the overall experience of the group really helped the subsidiary company to take very prudent decision in buying the materials, especially the modules. And has to compete with
us. What is their strength? You're saying that their strength is that they are able to manufacture according to raw materials at the right time? Or could you elaborate a little bit on that?
So when I say the right time, it's not for the manufacturing company, because manufacturing company has to keep on supplying irrespective of the pricing going up and down. It's for the EPC company, wherein the procurement forms a major component of the cost of the project. Hence, the timing matters for an EPC company, because we are not taking up very risky propositions wherein we take and then we hunt for the procurement. Largely, we intend to continue our business of back-to-back buying. So today, if we are taking a project, we would ensure that we cover up our position with the back-to-back purchases of the key raw materials, and hence play a very safer side of the game. So that way, the judgment of taking quick decisions on the procurement is something that as a strength comes from the parent company. Because we know where the market is going up, having a legacy of 15 plus years in this industry now.
Okay, and what about the competitive landscape in terms of our competitors? Has there been more aggression to get orders, or is there a number of players reducing? Anything on that?
So if you see last few years, especially 2 to 3 years, there has been a lot of consolidation and there has been a lot of, you know, change in the competitive landscape. So there used to be more than 300-400, mid-size and small-size EPC players in this industry. While in last 2 years, we have seen only few players have remained who are very, very sensitive to the risk that they were taking, a very calculative in risk. So many players have gone out of the business in last 1 or 2 years. Industry has seen turmoil. So we believe that this may still continue if the players in this industry are taking uncalculated risk. We may still see some accidents in the near future. But yes, the competitive landscape still continues, and we believe that as a strength, we'll continue to, play our own game.
So then, sir, just to understand, if the number of players is reduced, has our bargaining power or our receivables, any of that improved?
So number of players have reduced, but what has happened along with time, that majority of the developers are now also establishing their own in-house EPC projects as well. So though number of players in the market have reduced, but the in-house capacities of large developers is also increasing at the same time, wherein they are not giving end-to-end turnkey projects to the EPC players. They are giving a portion of it. So in a way, still the competition lies, but it's now an outside competition as well as the inside own capacities of the large developers to, to do the EPC projects.
Okay. So then our addressable market would have shrunk, because assuming that incrementally a lot of the new CapEx in this segment is coming by, let's say, the three large players, and they seem to be having the in-house EPC players, would our addressable be significantly reducing then?
And so, see, market sizing is too large. If you see last 2 years, market size is increasing year on year, 7 gigawatt to 15 gigawatt installations, then going ahead, we are looking at 40, 50 gigawatt annual installations. So though there are few large players, but then still the market is very large for the existing players to take their share.
Okay, fine, sure. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kanav Garg from Garg Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes. Please go.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have, two, three questions. So first question is, so let's say when we bid for any kind of a project, I think you have already explained that we procure module from the parent on an arm's length basis. But let's say, do we also install the substations? I mean, if we install the substations, who do we procure for those substations from? Because I was reading somewhere that there is a shortage of transformers there in the market.
So may I request Pujan Doshi to reply you on this question? Pujan?
Hi, good morning, everyone. So, when we take the decision to procure, and what happens is that each project size is different, each project engineering is done differently, and hence the selection of transformers are done differently. It is true, however, that there is a shortfall in terms of capacity of manufacturing the transformer. However, given our relations with our existing suppliers, and we have been operating long enough to have a good relations with those suppliers, we are able to take a long lead time and deliver those transformers for our customers. So, I hope that answers your question.
Now, just a follow-up on this, who would be our top two, three suppliers?
It would not be prudent to declare our suppliers in this forum publicly, but we do procure it from India's top five to top ten players.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir. So my second question is, so recently, I think there was a 2 gigawatt of orders which were declared by SECI, S-E-C-I. I mean, just trying to understand, do the companies who won these projects, they subcontract the work to us, or there is no opportunity for us to get the orders from them?
So there will be an opportunity for all these projects going forward. And we are in touch with all the developers, and we are discussing with all of them.
Okay. So my last question is, if I look at your numbers, right, I think there is a decrease in the power sale from last year. I think in last year, June quarter, we did 316 lakhs, and I think in this year, we did 2 crores, 2.2 crores, right? So just trying to understand, I think in last 1 year, we must have added some capacity, right? So why there is such a, in a percentage term, just 50% or what, 30% fall in the revenue from power sale?
So largely, if you look at the power sales, it's firstly cyclic in nature, and then in that case, you know, and there are one or two smaller projects which have hived off in last 1.5 odd years. So when, since our model is build a project, operate it for some time and then transfer it off, so we'll keep on seeing the some fluctuation in the overall power generation revenue, but then it's the strategy that we build, we will operate it for some time and then we'll sell the project. So when you sell the project, the revenue won't come in the, you know, henceforth in the coming quarter, and hence you'll see a overall fluctuation in the power generation revenue.
So sir, when we sell the project, I mean, does it come into exceptional items of profit that we, when we sell the project? So like, where can we see that line item?
Oh, it will come in the main business, because it's one of the key, main business of the company only. If you look at the operating revenues, the power generation revenue still is a part of my total operating income only. And hence, any revenue from the sales of those projects also form part of my operating revenue.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to know what is the market size for the type of business that you do. You know, I understand the total size is 500 gigawatt what government is planning over the next few years. But what is your addressable market out of there? And second question is, who are your main competitors?
So thank you. Thank you for the same. But as you said that there is a 500 gigawatt of the market for the renewable by 2030, of this 280 gigawatt will be from the solar. And we see that probably around 40 to 50 gigawatt from 2024-25 onwards every year. Of this, you can say the market size which is available for the player, EPC player, would be in the range of anywhere around 50% of this particular size, because 50% they do this on their own. So I think around anywhere around 20-25 gigawatt will be available for us, for all the players as a EPC every year. And as far as the name of the competitor goes, there are many players who are there in this field, and some of them have closed their business also because of the, again, it's a competition with the people who do the quality work and then the small people who just play on the cost side and on the margin side. They don't care about the quality. So I think if you see, there are very limited players as far as the top tier 1 or top 5 players goes, which is Sterling Wilson or Wari or Mahindra Sustain or Vikram.
And coming back to this market size, so you do EPC for behind the meter or also for, you know, projects which are going to supply to the grid?
So we do the complete, we do both the things. We even supply to the grid also.
Okay. And modules you acquire from your parent company or the customer decide where to acquire from? Is it your decision or customer?
So it depends upon the customer choice. So if customer requires this from the parent company, then we purchase this from the parent company, or else even they source this from the outside party also. So it depends upon customer choice.
Okay. And what is your IPP capacity?
My IPP capacity is not much. It's hardly 25. Around 20 megawatt, not more than that.
And any plans to add to that?
So we are adding a small project, again, not on a big way on this. So we are adding a project of 10 megawatt, something like this.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions. And wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Naveen Garg from Grow Up Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, my question is that Vare Renewables ki listing hum NSE pe kab tak dekh sakte hain sir? Koi aisa plan hai sir company ka?
सो एनएससी पे लिस्टिंग करना ही है हमें, बट थोड़े रेगुलेशंस है जिसकी हमें फॉलो करना है, और वंस वी कंप्लीट दैट फॉर्मेलिटीज देन वी लिस्ट ऑन द एनएससी.
ओके, इन 2023 कैन वी एक्सपेक्ट सर?
I cannot guarantee you, but it all depends upon all the regulation fulfillment of the NSE.
Okay, it's under consideration.
Sorry?
It's under consideration matter.
Haji, haji.
Okay, thank you sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
So another question, how much of our sales happen with the parent company, let's say a client asks for both together, and how much is it without that?
So your question is how much we buy from the parent company, right?
No. When a client approaches you all, is how is the sales channel? Is the client approaches the parent company and we get an offer with it together, or is it separate?
No, it's a separate. Generally, it's like company directly approach the customers, and in case if the customer required the module, in that case we approach to the parent company and we get this purchase from the parent company.
But any idea how much percentage of yours would come with the how much of your projects are with the parent company?
So it's ranging around 10 to 15%. That is what I can say. Not much.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kishan Toshniwal from Polar Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations first of all on a good set of numbers. I have 2-3 questions. Basically, what is the ratio of government and private business that you have out of this whole EPC business that you have? What is the ratio of government or private and private?
So again, the most of the projects is from the private only. So you can say around 90% of the projects is from the private, and hardly 10% will be from the government.
Okay. Also, you have 3 companies as far as I know. 2 are listed and the parent which will get listed in some time. How does Bharati Renewable Technology benefit with this? And also, what is the synergy between the 3 companies which will help Bharati Renewable Energy, or if I am a shareholder of Bharati Renewable Energy, what will be the benefit that Bharati Renewable Energy has when there are still 3 companies that are there, and why not there is a single company that does all the work?
So all the 3 companies into the different solar activities basically. So Bharati Energies, as you know, is mainly into the manufacturing side. Bharati Renewable Technology is mainly into the EPC, O&M and the IPP business side. And the third listed company is into the battery storage side. So these 3 are the different activities, and as and when required, we Bharati Renewable Technology purchase the storage from the other listed company and the modules from the parent company.
In addition to this, from the parent company that will list in future, I don't know when it will get list, do we have some technological advancement also, technology transfer also to this company as and when we need? Because that company is making, I suppose, the cells and all the grids and all are made by that company, the parent company. So this company also gets technology transfer also, or is it only EPC, clean EPC company which has got nothing to do with its parent? It's a separate company and a parent is a separate company, and we do not get any technology transfer from there.
So you rightly said, I think both the companies are the separate company only. The parent company is focusing on the manufacturing side. This company is focusing on the EPC side and the O&M side and the IPP side. And as and when this company requires the module, they source this from the parent company.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhruv Bhatia from AUM Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, please.
Sir, I want to understand is what is the sustainable margin run rate that we can do in our business?
So as I explained to you earlier also that we are into the EPC business where we have four different stages, and depending upon the booking of the which stage you are into, so it cannot be the same margin in the every quarter, but if you see on the yearly basis, probably will be anywhere around 12 to 15%. That is what we can think about.
12 to 15% is a sustainable thing on a full year basis, correct?
Yes.
And sir, last year, last quarter, you had said in the call that around we would execute around 800 megawatts of orders in the current year. So are we on track for the same?
So in the last, I think, call, what I said is company will execute around 817 megawatts of the order in 12 to 15 months. And as of today, we have a pending order of 856 megawatt, and we'll try to finish this order probably in 9 to 12 months period.
Okay. And sir, on the booking inquiry or new pipeline of orders, sir, how do you see the whole environment?
So the traction is very good, in fact, in the industries, and we have around a pipeline of 3 gigawatt.
I guess the pipeline was the same last quarter also. So is there anything meaningful development from the same, or how is the order finalized, or when will these orders get finalized in our books?
So generally it takes a period of anywhere between 6 to 9 months to get finalized.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question on your O&M margin. What kind of EBITDA margins are you doing that?
What kind of margin you mean to say?
Yeah, EBITDA margin are you making in your O&M business?
So probably EBITDA will be in the range of around 30-35%.
30-35%.
Okay. Yeah.
EBITDA margin. And
right.
And your competitor was talking about, at least in this quarter, around 15% EBITDA margin on the O&M side. So you think they can move up to this kind of number, or are you doing something different which leads to such a high number for you?
So it's difficult to comment on the others, but I think margin of anywhere around the 35% should be fine.
Okay. Understood. And then you talked about your third group company, which is into batteries, storage batteries. So what is the business that is overlapping with the battery company? Meaning, as you explained, that only 15% of your business is being touched by your parent company when you are supplying to the customer. So what is that kind of number where you are supplying batteries to your customers as part of the project?
So again, I mean, not much of the orders we received along with the battery storage in this company for the EPC business. So
in a way, these three companies are completely separate from each other, and you were just saying that maybe 10-15% of this company, the EPC company, you are buying the panels from your parent company, right?
Correct, you are saying.
Okay. And then just lastly, your projects, are you bearing the cost of the panels, or are you passing it to the customers? I mean, who's responsible for the change in the cost of the panels? That's really what I'm trying to understand.
So again, it's different from order to order basis and customer to customer basis. So it's too difficult to comment on a generalized statement on this particular.
Okay, so let's say your order book is 100 rupees. How many of, what percentage of that 100 rupees will be where you're bearing the cost, and in what percentage you will not be bearing the cost?
It's generally around 50-60% will be for the module price, and the rest will be for the other materials.
No, I was asking, in your contract, if there is a fluctuation in the module prices, are you passing that through to your customer, or you have to be judicious about booking, et cetera, so that you don't get impacted by the fluctuation in the module prices? That's I was trying to ask that question.
Yeah, generally our policy is that we do the back-to-back only. Whenever we receive the order from the customer along with the module, we generally place the order with the parent company for the same. We don't face any challenge on the increase in the cost or the reduction or any change in the price also.
Okay. That's true for third parties also, right? Like in case the modules are being bought from a third party, you will do a similar arrangement with those also.
Right. You are right.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Samarth K from KRBS Broking. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations for good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding our green hydrogen project. What is the current status for our green hydrogen project? I mean, what cost we have incurred till now, and what are the revenue estimates for it, you know? Because recently Indian company has raised just $4 billion for hydrogen and ammonia. What are the plans for are going aggressive or what are our company's plan?
Yeah, I'll ask Pujan Doshi to reply on this. Pujan, please.
Hi. The company has won a 1 MW hydrogen project on a build-own-operate basis. As you know, this sector is quite new for the entire country and everybody is sort of getting their hands on it. We have taken this project as a learning experience. To answer your question, we have done only a level of basic engineering. We have received LOA from the customer, but we are yet to receive the final agreements from the customer. Hello?
All right. Yeah.
Yes. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. My second question is regarding how do we plan to grow our IPP portfolio? What are the road ahead for this?
On the IPP side, we are looking at the various opportunity. As of today, the company is not investing much on the IPP side. As I said that we have around 20 MW of the portfolio and additionally 10, 12 MW which is under construction. And we continue with the such type of the model where we build, operate and the sale, till we get some good player who's intent to invest in the IPP side and who can come along with us and we can build a larger portfolio.
Correct. I just want to understand, a few days back we have, our parent company has done some MOU with our European some companies to, you know, storage the thermal power. Do we get benefit of it or it is for the parent company only?
Again, I think it's for the parent company and it's very in the initial stage where we signed the MOU and not even agreement. I think it's very difficult to comment at this time.
All right. My question is about the RTL only. Are we going to get some benefit out of that order or something if we execute it?
It depends upon the future, how we tie up for everything, and we'll come on this at the appropriate time.
All right. My last question is about the last con call. In last con call, you guided that we have already applied for a tender of around 4 GW projects, right? Can you shed some light on it? What are the stage are we standing on?
I think in the last call, we said on the basis of the pipeline of the 3 GW, and we continue saying that it is a pipeline of the 3 GW and not the tender basically.
All right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everything is covered. Just on the revenue front, you said margins will sustain. So what about revenue, sir? Will this run rate continue on quarter? Will this get better? How are you? What are your expectations, sir? And how will you end the year?
So definitely we cannot give any forward-looking statement, but last year we did around 300 megawatt of the project, and this year, as I said, that we have a backlog of around 856 megawatt of the orders, and we intend to finish this in next 9 to 12 months period.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Sir, you said that around 10 to 15% of our orders are with the solar module. So, sir, in terms of value per megawatt, what would be those with the module and without the module, if you can broadly say the range?
So when the order is without the module, it is ranging between 1.25 crores to 1.5 crores, depending on the scope of the contract.
Okay. And with the module, would be around 3.5 crores?
Will be around 3.5 crore to 4 crore rupees, depending upon the price of the module, because again, there is a fluctuation going on in the price of the module.
And sir, in terms of the module prices, which has now come to almost an all-time low, and globally also we see the prices falling quite steeply. So how is the demand supply scenario in India? We have an import duty, custom duty as well on solar modules, and the ALMM also being extended till 1 year. So is there a capacity constraint here in India? I mean, just if you can help me with the demand supply scenario on solar modules.
Yeah, Vishek will reply you on this. Vishek.
Hello. So actually, we have seen in last 2 years, there have been lot many efforts starting from the policy framework, which has supported the domestic manufacturing capacities in the country. 2 years back, the total capacities were not even 15 gigawatt, while today as we speak, the capacities have crossed 35 gigawatt of manufacturing of solar panels as of now. In fact, ALMM also mentions that 22 plus gigawatt is already there, enlisted as ALMM, which is available for the domestic sales. So there's a plenty of supply which is coming up, and if you look at the PLI scheme also, the participation is beyond 50 plus gigawatt of module manufacturing lines to be set up in next 24 odd months. So looking forward, we foresee by next 2 years, the total capacity is ranging between 60 to 80 gigawatt of solar panels, and the total demand, as Mr. Mehta has also mentioned in the earlier discussion, that we are looking at 40, 50 plus gigawatt of domestic demand from starting from next 2 years. So basically that we don't foresee any different, large mismatch between the demand and supply going ahead.
And how would be the pricing in terms of kind of modules from China with the duty on, and currently the Indian demand comes up? So what's the current difference between the pricing from China and India, if you can tell me?
So if you look at the large utility scale projects, you can't afford to have any price differential between China and India. When I say price difference, it's the landed cost of panels in India. So that's post the duty. So if Chinese panel cost is around, let's say, 18 to 19 cent, which is currently prevailing pricing, the landed cost in India would be around 24, 25 cents. And that's a price which domestic manufacturer will have to match up to take an order at the utility scale. So in the while during our sales pitch, there is no such difference which we can afford between our pricing of panels and pricing of the imported panels.
Okay, so in terms of our parent company, you know, it is with this price, are we able to kind of make decent margins on this business?
Yes, certainly. So last few years, we have seen margins increasing year on year, and this year also margins have increased and top line has also increased. So that way we can foresee that to continue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jay Nayak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hello, Hitesh sir, and congratulations for the good set of numbers. I've got a couple of questions, sir. One on our international foray for EPC and O&M services. So if you can throw some light on it.
So as you know, the company has done the EPC project in the foreign also. We have done one project in the Vietnam of 50 megawatt in 2021. And we are looking for more projects in the coming years.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, on O&M side, well, you have given enough details on the margins and revenue. I just wanted to know that we have got some 150 employees working for O&M basis the presentation you have given. So I just wanted to know the strategy of our company on expanding O&M business, which is you know, a high margin and there's a huge potential for growth.
No, surely we are looking at the more and more orders to come in under this O&M also. So as I said, we have around 490 megawatt portfolio under the O&M, and the total number of the people, when you are saying that, we have around 150 people in the company and not in the O&M department.
Okay, got it. And sir, one last question. Are we looking at getting into wind power EPC, and do you see any synergies between solar EPC and wind power EPC?
So we are discussing with the customer for the hybrid solution, wherein we'll provide the solar and the wind together.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Gunit Singh from CCIPL. Please.
Hi, sir. I just want to understand the outlook for FY24 in terms of top line and bottom line, and how much of the order book is executionable within the next 9 months.
So I think we replied on this question earlier also, where we said that we have an order book of 856 megawatt and we intend to finish this by next 9 to 12 months period.
Alright, so in Q1 we did around 100 megawatts, right? 90 to 100 megawatts.
Yeah, 96 megawatt dot.
96 megawatts. So around 9 to 10 times, so that is the outlook for the next 9 months. Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Sorry?
That's all from my side. I think I got the answer to my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, participants, for having us today. It has been a pleasure. If there are any further questions or queries that we have not been able to answer, please feel free to reach out to Orient Capital team. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Orient.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.